Okay, now I'm ready. So, going to shoot.
Okay. So, anyone with questions, you can raise your hand and you can start asking the question. Anyone would like to start first?
What is? No questions, huh? Oi.
I wanted to ask, actually, as the parish age, right, usually the children are the one making a decision when they are in critical illness. For example, when they are near to death.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask, like, if let's say the doctor actually make a decision that you are supposed to make a decision to decide whether they wish to remove the life support, for example, what are the things that a child should take note of to discuss with the parents such that they won't break the precepts? Like, whether if I decided to remove the life support from them, will I be the one? I mean, the intention is there's no way to be safe anymore, is to reduce suffering. Then at this point of time, like, it's not a bad karma, right? It's like what are the things that I should really discuss with them right before they get very sick?
Yeah. I mean, discuss it before, yeah. I mean, if they say, you know, I mean, leave me on life support for 3 months, you know, then you leave them on life support, yeah? I mean, yes, of course it is better, yeah? And you have to watch your intention, or the people have to watch their intention. I mean, if they are going to inherit a lot of money, they should watch their intention, you know, so, yeah? And let's get rid of my parents, you know, and inherit, you know, the wealth, you know, from my parents. Then this is, of course, not good, yeah? But to reduce the suffering of the people, yeah, I mean, if there's no hope that they come back, you know, I mean, then just shut it off, yeah? It is not really killing, yeah? I mean, if you turn off the life support, yeah? Because without life support, they would die anyway, yeah? It is artificial, yeah? And some people, you know, keep them forever on life support, you know. I mean, think about the people cannot go to the next life, huh? And they cannot move, what they are doing in their body, nothing, yeah. Cannot move the body, you know, I mean, if the brain is functioning or not, we don't even know, yeah. Okay?
Okay, thank you. I have no questions.
Ah, how is your practice?
I've been slacking in my practice, but I will come back. I'll come back in December 19. Yeah, I'll stay for about a week.
3 weeks?
1 week.
3 weeks.
1 week. I bought the air tickets already. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyone else?
What is? People don't practice or what? Yeah? If we don't practice, we don't have questions, yeah?
Okay, no, there's a question from the Zoom chat.
Okay.
Dear Longpo, the fifth precept is no intoxication of drinks. Can you clarify?
What? That is not right. No intoxication. Not only drinks, yeah. I mean, it is alcohol. It is alcohol and, you know, and heroin and, you know, all this yaba and so whatever it is, yeah. Huh?
Yeah. So the question is, can you clarify if that includes no cooking with alcohol?
What?
I understand cooking with alcohol.
Why do you want to cook with alcohol? Normally the alcohol, you know, disappears, you know, when you're cooking, yeah? But I wouldn't do it, yeah? Just to be sure, yeah?
Yeah, so some Buddhists seems to think it's okay to cook with wine, Also, nowadays, there are many restaurants that use wine in their dishes. Okay. Are we breaking the precept if we consume the food without knowing that alcohol was used?
No. I mean, you have to have an intention, yeah? You have to have the intention to drink alcohol, yeah? Or you have to have the intention, you know, to use drugs, yeah? I mean, a lot of people nowadays use drugs and they think, you know, I mean, I don't know what is on the market, ecstasy or whatever is on the market, you know, it just makes, blows our mind, yeah? And that is, of course, against the five precepts. But, you know, if you go to a restaurant, and, you know, and you get a nice sauce, if you smell the alcohol, you know, then stop eating it, yeah? But normally, you know, when you use alcohol for cooking, you know, I mean, it disappears, it dissipates, yeah? But if they put too much in, you know, I mean, it might not, yeah? So if you smell it or if you taste it, then just stop it, yeah? But you didn't have any intention, yeah? Okay? How many people are there anyway?
I think there are 17.
17? No questions from 17 people. You just want to see me, or that I'm still alive.
What is question from me?
Yeah. Where are you from? Vietnam?
Yeah, I'm currently in Prague, Lumpur.
In Prague?
Yes.
Oh, in the Czech.
Yeah, Czech Republic.
Czech Republic. Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm still using Czechoslovakia, but, you know, it's just Czech, yeah?
Yeah.
So, what are you doing there?
I'm doing my doctoral study in Charles University, like in, you know, physics, microscope, laser, those kind of things.
Okay.
Yeah, I was shy to ask you a question. And yeah, actually, I always think of you as my teacher, and, you know, like I'm shy, so I don't know how to ask. I mean, I have a question, yes, of course.
Yeah, well, what is your question? Use the laser, you know, to investigate your body.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
I mean, I practice, yeah, almost every day. And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes I do like the focus on the breath, anapanasati, sometimes like kaya nupassana, like on the body investigation.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that, you know, like I think currently I'm stuck in my work and also like in meditation because, I mean, okay, let's say, okay, this morning I do meditation and I really can focus. I mean, it means like I'm imagine from the lab and those things, and you know, like I try to focus on the breath, but you know, it disappear. I hold it back, and then you know, like so. Okay, you also suggested that like one more breath, so I say one more breath. But sometimes, you know, especially in the weekend, like today or tomorrow, then I don't know how to manage time, study, and you know, like meditation, and yeah, because I know like the meditation give me, it is the only way, and you know, like, and also I'm just drawing between the choices, you know, like, okay, I want to meditate, and when I meditate, then I can't really focus, and then when I study, my mind is taken to meditation. It's so weird.
Yeah, I mean, you separate it out, yeah? I mean, meditation actually helps you with your study, yeah? Then use, you know, I mean, if you have the feeling you cannot concentrate, then use put with breathing in and do with breathing out, yeah? Or just use the buto, 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 yeah? Until the mind gets calm, yeah? And then you can use put with breathing in and do with breathing out, yeah?
Yeah, I tried, but just, you know, like, I cannot do more than 2 hours, and then, you know, I can't.
Why? What is happening after 2 hours?
And then feeling happier, and then, you know, like, okay, it will be much better.
Well, what
is... There are some kind of painful feeling appear, and then, okay, I should stop and study, and, you know...
No, you should investigate the pain and the fear.
Yeah.
Because these are the things, you know, the kilesas bring up, you know, pain and fear, yeah? Fear, mm-hmm. yeah? Huh? And if we follow that, if we follow the command of the kilesas, yeah, okay, let's stop, you know? I mean, we will never overcome pain and fear. We will never understand, yeah? So, I mean, try it, yeah? I mean, let's say, you know, 10 minutes, you investigate pain, yeah? If it's too much, say, okay, hello, yeah? Put your white flag up and say, okay, I give in, yeah? But let's next time, you know, the important thing is not just to stop, yeah? The important thing is to know we give up because the kilesas are too obnoxious, yeah? And then, you know, and then at the same time, when we give up, we tell ourselves the next time we just do half a minute longer. Yeah?
It takes like a million, you know.
Yeah. Half a minute is not very much, you know, or 10 seconds,
I
you know. But
after the pain arrived, then it's like very, very loud. And
yes. Yeah? Because you don't like pain. Huh? So, what is pain? So everybody, you know, I mean, look at the people here in this world. How are they ruled? Through pain and fear. Yeah? And that's how the kilesas rule us. Yeah? They bring up some fear, you know, and then we give in. Yeah? Our government says, you know, I mean, If you don't do this, you know, I mean, you go to prison, yeah, or something like that, yeah, or we don't give you any money, yeah. So, we are afraid, yeah. So we do what they want, yeah. And it's the same thing, the kilesas, yeah. We do what they want, yeah.
Yes. Also, you know, when I'm very stressed, I want to come to you and practice meditation,
yeah.
But also, fear came that I really like Europe, as you know, like, and I can't come because, like, if I make this decision, like, my PhD will be stopped and, you know, like, I don't have any reason, like, to come back because I'm not from Europe. So, sometimes, okay, I have to go with this fear and pain, you know?
Yeah. But that is completely okay, yeah? But Europe at the time, you know, it's not really a good place to be. There's a lot of hostility. There's a lot of hostility. People are very angry, you know, yeah, because they are dissatisfied, well, mostly dissatisfied with their government, yeah, or you don't have enough money because of, yeah, they all spend it on war, yeah, the money and the tax of the people, they spend it on war, yeah. Well, they want to have a war with Russia. I mean, it's so stupid, yeah.
I don't know. So sometimes I'm thinking I want to, you know, like maybe kind of kilesar. I want to study to Buddhist study, not physics.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the lab it's so stressful. Like I have to do like those kind of experimented things. So yeah, maybe if I want to be in Europe, then I can change my subject or something like that. Because I cannot come to you completely because of, you know, kilesar.
I mean, that is okay. You don't make this decision with the mind. You make these kind of decisions with your heart.
Yeah.
What is the heart wanting, you know? Yeah, I mean, finish, you know, if you do your doctorate, at least, you know, you have your, what is it, you know, you have your diploma, yeah, already. Yeah? So you could actually work as a physicist, yeah?
I think I don't want to become a physicist, you know, it's...
It doesn't fix with this, you know.
You just want
to study, you know, then study Buddhism. Find out about yourself, not find about the world, you know. I mean, look at yourself. I mean, who am I, you know? What is it that makes me want this? What is it that makes me want that? You know, what is it? Yeah, I mean, that drives me here, that drives me there, yeah. Where is that coming from? Investigate yourself, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, you know, they don't understand themselves, you know. I mean, they look at others, you know. See something they like, you know, in other people, you know. Yeah? They want it also, you know. They see something they hate, yeah. And I always tell the people, you know, whatever you see in the other person is just a mirror of yourself. I mean, if you see, you know, if you get angry about how a person behaves, it's the way that you behave. Yeah? But you don't want to see it, but you see it in other people. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, whatever. Yeah? I mean, practice. The more you practice, I mean, the more the heart, you know, will tell you what to do, what is proper for you. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And once the heart makes a decision, it is very easy. Yeah?
Yes. I really hope at that moment. Thank you very much. And
you're welcome.
I really wish you to be healthy and lovely because I need you.
Yeah, but then you have to rush to come over because I don't. It's getting more and it's getting worse for me, you know. Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Okay, maybe another person can.
Okay, Sunny.
Yes, Ina, if I got her name correct. Maria? Yeah.
Hey, hello. My question is how to deal with these foreground and background thoughts during meditation.
there's only
because
one.
I don't,
yeah. You just replace them. You replace them with the Buddha, or you replace them with the attention on the breath. If they are too strong, you know, I mean, sometimes you can say, you know, not interested, not interested, not interested, not interested, yeah?
Okay.
The foreground, you know, are easy, you know, to get rid of. The background are more difficult. But the more, you have to understand, the more interest we have in our object that we observe, be it the breath or the Buddha, I mean, the less activity are in the background. Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, it's not really a thought, but it's as if something is going on in the background.
Yeah. 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 That is quite normal. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But you put your attention, there's also a lack of interest, yeah? In the object that we observe, yeah? Because after a while, you know, after 20 minutes, we become a little bit bored, you know, oh, the breath, you know, I know already the breath. No, you don't know it. The breath changes every moment, yeah? The same with the Buddha. Yeah?
And at this point, I shouldn't start with body investigation. Should Not I wait yet. Until?
Wait until until the mind is clear of all these things, yeah?
Okay.
What you can do is, the kind of body investigation everybody can do is look at one's life, you know, from birth, you know, learning to walk, learning to talk, going to school, learning to think, yeah? And then going to work, you know, finding a profession, going to work. Some people have a family. Go through that, yeah? Find out, you know, how much dukkha there was, yeah, in your life, yeah? And then think about it, okay, next life I have to do the same thing over and over again. That might give you some motivation, you know, to practice a little bit more and to be more interested in the practice, yeah? Yeah. This kind of body investigation, yeah, I mean, it's a very coarse one. We can do any time, you know, we don't need a lot of concentration. We can look, you know, or go back, you know. Okay, now I'm 40, you know, okay, what happened with the age of 39? What were the things, you know, and then 38, and then go back until you come closer to birth, yeah? This kind of body investigation you can do any time, yeah? Maybe do it half an hour every day, yeah? Or reflecting about death, you know, that is also good.
Okay.
Where do you live?
In Germany. Germany.
Yeah, yeah. Ja, dann gibt's genug Möglichkeiten, ne?
Oh, ja.
Look at the old people, yeah? Look at people, you know, sometimes, you know, one can go to the hospitals and look at the people who are close to death, you know, and say one time, you know, I will be just like that, yeah? I mean, we are born, you know, we get older, we get sick, and we die. Yeah? That is the thing, yeah. And don't get disturbed by the things that are going on in Germany, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't like to live in Germany anymore.
It's not so nice at the moment.
No. I still remember the times in the 70s and the beginning of the 80s. That was really great, yeah, being in Germany. But now, I mean, it's the same in Austria. I mean, the mood is very, very, very heavy, yeah. Okay?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so I mean, use the meditation, you know, to withdraw from the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? As much as you can, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Can I ask another question?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
When it comes to daily reflection, how detailed should it be?
As detailed as you can remember.
Okay.
Yeah? So, okay. About... Was das Wichtige ist bei der Reflexion ist, dass du nicht darüber nachdenkst, ob das gut ist oder schlecht ist, sondern einfach nur, was habe ich gedacht, welche Gefühle waren da, was habe ich gemacht und was war das Nächste? Ja, wenn ich mich nicht erinnern kann, sofort zum Nächsten springen, ne, woran du dich erinnern kannst. Ne? Ich habe meine Zähne geputzt, wo waren meine Gedanken, ne? Was habe ich dann gemacht, und dann habe ich gegessen. Und nach dem Essen kann ich mich nicht erinnern, dann bin ich zur Arbeit gegangen oder sowas, ja? Und wenn du das jeden Tag machst, ne, dann wird es jedes Mal etwas detaillierter, ja?
Okay.
Ja?
Okay.
Aber nicht beurteilen, ne? Nicht sagen, das war gut oder das war schlecht, sondern einfach, wir zeigen dem Herz einfach nur, was wir gemacht haben, was wir gefühlt haben, was wir gedacht haben, wie wir reagiert haben. Okay?
Dazu noch, weil wenn ich die mache und wenn ich fertig bin und dann passiert es auf einmal, okay, jetzt habe ich es gemacht und dann kommen auf einmal wie so am Band 1000 Einzelerinnerungen hoch.
Das ist okay.
Das ist okay. Okay, das macht jetzt nicht. Okay.
Nee, das macht überhaupt nichts. Okay. Ne? Ja. Okay. Du triggerst damit deine Reflexion, triggerst du einfach nur, ja, und dann hörst du auf und dann plötzlich kommen alle die Dinge. Aber, ja, schau sie dir nur an. Nur anschauen.
Okay.
Nicht beurteilen.
Nicht? Das spiele ich, aber okay, ja.
Alles klar?
Okay, thank you.
Mhm. Okay, Sani. Somebody else?
Anyone else? Questions? Yes, yeah. Yes.
Ah, yeah. So?
Can you hear me well?
Yeah.
My question is about something you just said about fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear coming from our kilesas.
Yeah.
But then how to work with it? Like just as an act of will, I will not have fear? Or how to work with having fear?
No. Have you ever done any investigation of pain?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing is you feel pain, yeah? I mean, the first thing is, yeah, you know there is pain, yeah? Then you feel it. And let it pervade the whole body. You want to understand the feeling of pain, yeah? And that is the same thing for any kind of feeling, yeah? Be it fear, be it anger, be it lust, be it whatever it is, yeah? We want to understand, we really want to feel that feeling, yeah? Without putting any labels on it, I like it or I don't like it, doesn't really matter. We just want to feel the feeling, yeah? And then, yeah, once we can feel the feeling, well, for pain we ask, where is it actually located? But for fear, we ask the question, what came before the fear? What kind of thoughts did it have? Or what kind of memories, yeah? Or you can ask yourself, what am I afraid of, yeah? If you don't know the answer, then go back, you know? See what led to this fear. And if you understand what led to this fear, then you can correct the view, yeah, the view or the thought, you know, that led to this fear and say, you know, I mean, this is not realistic, yeah, or I don't have to be afraid of it. A lot of people are afraid of what is happening tomorrow, yeah. I mean, if you are Buddhist, you know, you just say, whatever happens will happen anyway. You know, I mean, I cannot protect myself. The only way I can, you know, can deal with it in the proper way is, you know, to have sati at that moment when it happens. Because then I know, yeah, how to deal with it in a proper way. Yeah,
so
think about...
If we do this...
What?
Yes, please, continue.
Yeah. I mean, think about the time, you know, when the whole world was afraid of COVID. Huh? And what was it? You know, in the end, now we know it was just, you know, it just was a flu, you know, with a different kind of virus, yeah? And everybody, you know, took the shots, put the mask, you know, and all these things, you know, actually didn't help with it, yeah? That's what I said before, you know, the fear makes us do things, you know, that are not wholesome, yeah? We don't see clearly. When our mind is full of fear, we don't see clearly, yeah? So, we accept there is fear, then we look, you know, what is the cause of our fear, so we roll back. Before that memory came this thought, before this thought came this memory or this feeling, yeah, and so on, yeah, until we find the cause of the fear, yeah, and then we can correct it.
We are looking for the immediate cause. We are not looking for, oh, this happened when I was a child or so.
No, that is psychology.
Yes, because then, I have no idea.
No. That is not, I mean, it can come, you know, from, you know, from a childhood memory, but you will see the memory because, you know, the memory of this childhood will come up, you know, to trigger the fear, or the encounter with a person can trigger the fear. So you come to see, I met this person and then suddenly, you know, I had these kind of thoughts or these kind of memories come up, and then after that the fear came up. Yeah, then you can look at it, yeah? What was the thought, you know? What was the thought about this person, or what was the thought about, you know, that led to this fear? And then you counteract it.
If it's a very superficial cause, so you're not really so clear as to say, oh, this is what I'm going to do, then is it enough to at least continue watching it in the moment, or what to do?
Yeah, I mean, the moment, actually, yeah? The moment you accept the fear, yeah, you can actually stop it instantly, you know, saying puto 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 puto, and then the fear is gone. Yeah. But we want to understand, you know, if the fear comes often, yeah, then you want to understand what triggers that fear. Yeah. Is it the fear about the future? Yeah. We don't know the future. I don't know the future. Yeah. Maybe when I get up, you know, I fall over and, you know, I have another aneurysm, you know, where I'm gone, yeah? Or a stroke, yeah? I mean, it can happen, yeah? But I don't worry about this, yeah? The worry about this body, you know, I mean, is a kind of fear, yeah? What's happened is going to happen anyway, yeah? I mean, let's prepare ourselves to be, you know, to be as clear as possible in every situation so that we see all the possibilities. Because every situation has a lot of possibilities, yeah? And we can look for the possibility that is the most wholesome one. For us, yeah? Or for other people. Okay?
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anyone else with questions?
Naola.
if not, Lompo, I read the questions.
Practice a little bit, you know. I mean, everybody who is there in the Zoom session, you know. I mean, it is important, yeah. I mean, how often shall I say, you know, I mean, how many lives are you going to want to live again and again and again? How many times do you want to learn the same kind of profession? How many times, you know, I mean, do you want to learn to walk, to talk, you know, and earn the money, you know, build a family, you know, build a company or whatever? How often do you want to do that? Huh? And think about it, you know, I mean, we have trillions of lives that we have already lived, yeah? Not not so many as a human being, but in all sorts of realms, yeah. Very often in the hell realm, yeah, sometimes in the heavenly realm, sometimes in the ghost realm, yeah. I mean, is it so much fun, you know? I mean, our life as a human being, is it so much fun? Huh? Ask yourself this question, because this can give you motivation, you know, to practice, yeah? Yeah? To practice hard, you know, I mean, wholeheartedly, yeah? Not just sitting and listening, yes, yeah? I mean, there are lots of, you know, when I talk about Buddhism, you know, there are a lot of stages, you know. I mean, the first time you encounter Buddhism, I mean, you probably look at, you know, the stories of the Buddha, you know, it's like in a picture book, you know, oh, this is nice. You do that for 10 or 20 or 30 lifetimes, you know, and then you start to read, you know, about the Lord Buddha, about his teaching. You do that for 100 lifetimes, you know, and then, you know, it is like, you know, like in our childhood, you know. The first is we go to kindergarten, yeah. We see the picture books, you know. Then we go start to school, you know, to primary school, then to secondary school, and then we go to high school, yeah. We slowly learn, yeah. And that is, you know, with it, it's the same with Buddhism, yeah. You cannot start, you know, I mean, you've never been in contact with Buddhism. You cannot start, you're practicing, yeah. You have to learn it, you know, and lifetimes, yeah? I mean, think about it, you know, I mean, how long does it take, you know, how long does it take for a Buddha to become a Buddha? 100 eons, yeah, and one eon is uncountable times. Huh? For an arahant, it's at least 60 or 90 eons, you know, before he can become an arahant. People think, you know, oh, I practice, you know, for 4 years, you know, I become an arahant. Yeah. We can dream of it, you know, yeah. And, you know, the dream makes us happy, you know. But then, you know, what I saw very often, saw with Westerners, after 4 years they get so frustrated because they couldn't get an arahant, so that they go back to lay life, you know, but it's completely, you know, yeah. And that is what is happening often, yeah. Sometimes, you know, I mean, in one life, you know, we ordain, you know, and after 10 years, it's so difficult, and then we go back to lay life, yeah? And then in the next life, you know, maybe, you know, we ordain for 15 years, or maybe only for 4 years, and it's, oh, it's so difficult. And then life after life, we ordain as a bhikkhu, you know, and one time we are actually managing, you know, to be our whole life, you know, as a bhikkhu or samanin, yeah? And then, you know, 10 or 100 of lifetimes we become a bhikkhu and train until, you know, it seeps in. I mean, don't underestimate the power of kilesas that keeps you in the realm of, you know, in the realm of this universe, yeah? In the realm of birth and death, in samsara, yeah? Don't underestimate it. It's so thick, you know, I mean, each time we need to take out a little slice, yeah? Each time, you know, I mean, we have a very, very, very unsharp blade, you know, where we want to cut the huge tree of life, yeah? And each lifetime, you know, we cut a little bit, yeah? Until, you know, until it falls over, yeah? It takes time, yeah? So, I mean, when we come here, you know, at least, you know, we have practiced in our previous lives before, yeah? Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Yeah? Otherwise, we would learn, you know, Buddhism in school or at the university, you know, or go to a different kind of monasteries. There are different kind of monasteries. There are only few monasteries, you know, like Lungta Mahabor called it the Forest University, where you can learn, you know, it's just like in university, you get 4 degrees, Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahantship, yeah? The others are just preparing for this university, just like our high school is preparing us for the university. So there are lots of monasteries, you know, I mean, yeah, where you just study and learn, yeah? Practice a little bit and learn and practice a little bit and learn, yeah? But at the Forest University, all what we do is, you know, practice, yeah? We don't need to learn. We have learned enough, you know, in our life, huh? It only hinders us, huh? Whatever we know, it hinders us, yeah? Because then we deduce, yeah? Ah, maybe it's like this, maybe it's like that, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. No. Huh? I mean, when we come here, we practice Buddha, 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 or Anapanasati, yeah? And then, you know, when the mind is calm, we practice investigation, yeah? And as I said in the last talk, investigation is putting our attention, full attention on one object, be it the body object, you know, and then asking the right questions. I mean, we have to actually see, you know, internally with our internal eyes, see the object, yeah? When I say, you know, cutting up the body and putting it in front of us, you have to actually see it with your inner eyes, yeah? That you put, you know, you cut off the hand, you know, and you put it in front of you. Then you cut off the other hand and put it in front. Then the lower arm, then the upper arm, until all the parts of the body are there. And then you look, you know? And then you ask yourself, then you ask the right question. What part of the body is the body? Yeah? They are just body parts, yeah? And then we assemble it back again, yeah? That is investigation, yeah? Not just hoping that there is an insight, you know, coming insight. The insight doesn't come. Wisdom doesn't arise, yeah? Wisdom arises through investigation, through asking the right question. Yeah? For instance, you know, if you go inside the body, you know, I mean, look at the liver or look at the kidney, yeah? Then we investigate the kidney. And then later on we investigate the liver and then ask ourselves, what is the difference? What's the difference between the, you know, between the kidney and the liver? Yeah? Where's the difference between the skin and the hair? When the hair grows out of the skin, yeah? So, what's the difference? Understanding the nature of the body, yeah? Understanding, you know, that, you know, everything in this universe is made out of these four elements. The earth element, the water element, the fire element, the air element, yeah? Even thoughts, huh? Some have a lot of air element and hardly any earth element, but, you know, everything, you know, in this universe is made out of the element, of these four elements, you know, and then with our investigation we get to it, yeah? We understand, you know, there's actually nothing to it, yeah. We get disillusioned, yeah. I know in the West, yeah, oh, you disillusioned me, yeah, and that is a bad thing. No, in Buddhism it's a good thing, yeah, to get disillusioned, yeah, with the world or with the reality in that we live in, yeah. Okay, so, now I can ask.
Yeah, I'll read the...
It also, you know, I mean, Sani, it is also for you, you know? Yeah. What I just said. Kauchai mai? Songkon? Nityo? Nitnoi. Okay, read.
Yeah, I think there's one more question from Anne. Anne, you want to unmute yourself?
Oh. Ah, Holland.
Hello.
So, how is your baby coming along?
Well, just about 6 more weeks, so.
6 good. More weeks? Oh, now it's getting more and more painful.
Yep.
But now you know it already, because you've gone through it already.
Yes, and actually I was lucky last time because it went quite fast, but I didn't even have time for medication, so I just had to go through the pain, but it's awful. So I have to do it again. I just fell into the trap again.
It's your choice.
Yeah, that's what I say. I fall into the trap again. I do it myself.
Okay, so what are your questions?
Well, I go a bit up and down with my practice. Sometimes I practice a lot, and sometimes that's just the way of my process. And last time I couldn't join the Zoom session, and I asked an online question about feelings.
Yeah.
Feel fear and that. And I was thinking, well, the difficult feelings like pain or intense negative feelings, which I don't like to feel or something, is more difficult to accept. And when there is a lot of, what's the word in English, resistance mm-hmm. against it, then, well, it gets more.
Yeah.
So I just thought maybe I'll try to see also what happens when I have a happy feeling or
mm-hmm.
I have positive feelings because, well, I like it. It's more easy to accept, maybe.
No.
And I try to, no, because I try to do it.
Yeah.
Like you were in the moment of the day.
Yeah.
Not just only afterwards. Mm. But what happens was, for example, I noticed that when I saw something or saw someone who I like, you know, it starts with I see the person, of course, and then these memories come up and I have a good feeling about it. And then I notice myself feeling happy and I just thought, all right, how does it feel? And then the happiness just falls away and I just go to the breath immediately. I'm just focused on the breath. And then I thought, well, I'm not sure if this is right. So
yeah,
maybe
that is right. And the same thing happens with feeling that you don't like.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe the same because I had fear before.
Feeling,
it just disappears. And
feeling is the same thing, you know. I mean, we put the labels on, we like it or dislike it. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? I mean, if you remove the labels, then a feeling is just a feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah? Some cultures like, you know, the feeling of pain, you know. Huh? Other cultures, like our culture, doesn't like it, yeah? So, I mean, huh? So it is a label that prevents you from seeing the reality of it, yeah? But I said with happy feelings or with feelings, you know, I mean, what normally happens is we cannot really investigate them because our mind instantly goes to more, yeah? I mean, watch yourself when you eat something delicious, you know, your mind is always more, yeah? Yeah? And that it's much more difficult, yeah? Because our mind goes in, you know, and the feeling is constantly reproduced, so it is very difficult to investigate, you know, I mean, good feelings, yeah, or happy feelings. It's much easier because the bad feelings that we dislike, you know, they stick on and stick on.
Yeah.
But the same thing happens, you know. I mean, if you have a bad feeling or what I said before with fear, the moment you say buddha, it's gone. Yeah? Or you put your attention on the breath and it's gone. That is a normal thing, yeah. Feeling appears and disappears very quickly, yeah. But what we don't realize is that we always reproduce that feeling. We want more of it, you know, if it's good feeling, or we dislike it, and it's the same thing, yeah? The more we dislike something, the stronger it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we like it, the stronger it also becomes, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. No, for that I understand what you say, but then I am not sure, like, how to proceed, because last time I in the text that I sent, I explained that that I was looking at what happened before that all happened, like remember what happened before, and you told me you haven't found
found the cause yet.
The cause yet.
But so what you're doing, what I assume that you're doing wrong is that you do not actually feel the feeling.
Yeah, I'm still stuck with that. I mean, it's super weird maybe, but I just...
No, it's not weird.
I mean, how can you not feel the feeling? I understand, yet I tend to go...
And accept it. That is the most important thing. Even if it's a painful feeling, accept it, you know. Feel the feeling, yeah. I know it is difficult because our mind instantly runs off, yeah. And then once you know the feeling, you know, then you go back, you know. And it doesn't happen each time that you know the cause of it. Just try to find it, yeah.
And with bodily pain, for example, right now, well, I have a bit less motivation sometimes, so
yeah.
I say that I'm give up more easy than I did before. But when I have a bit of pain in my back, for example, and I feel like I want to stop, I just want to try to go through the feeling because, well, I don't want to stop. And it's not so bad yet that I really, like I've had before, but then it's still easy to, sort of easy to exit because it's not that heavy yet. And then I can see it switch to another place. But I remember when the pain got really heavy before in my knees, and I accepted it for a moment, for as long as I could take, then I just really saw a lot of heat, and it was really switching, like the temperature was really switching super fast. And well, that's what I saw, and then later all these thoughts come, and I think, like, did I see wrong, or did I see
wrong? No, I mean,
sympathetic with that as well when that happens.
It can be different each time you look at it. Yeah, it doesn't have to be always the same. I mean, heat, you know. I mean, it can be heat, you know. It can be some sort of discomfort. Yeah, but you know, then investigate what is heat. Yeah, because heat is also a feeling.
Yeah, and heat is usually the first thing I see when I have pain or when I feel something in my chest. Heat is one of the elements that that I
it can also be pressure. Yeah, pressure, you know, if you have pressure, you know, I mean, if you have a very heavy thought, you know, that can pressure, and pressure, you know, I mean, produces heat. Yeah.
Yeah, and how to proceed with that, because then I'm there. And
no, just look at it, yeah? And then ask yourself, you know, when the mind is clear, then do the buddha, 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 you know, until the mind is clear, and then go back what came before that pain. Yeah? I mean, with real physical pain, I mean, there is no cause for it, you know, the cause is your baby or whatever, you know, or some other strain, yeah? No, I'm talking about the pain, you know, that arises, you know, when you do in meditation. And that pain is kind of magic pain because it can disappear instantly once you get close to it and once you get close to understand what pain is. But it also helps this kind of understanding of pain, yeah? It also helps with bodily pain that we have, yeah, to be able to accept pain, yeah. Even if it is bodily pain, you know, that comes from other sources like your baby or whatever, yeah. Or somebody hit you on the head, you know. you know the German saying, you know the German saying, yeah. Wir rennen mit dem Kopf gegen die Wand, weil es so schön ist, wenn der Schmerz nachlässt. Yeah? We run with our head against the wall because it is so nice when the pain goes away. Habt ihr das in Dutch? The same? No?
I don't recall it, something
similar. Yeah, maybe it is old school. I'm really that old. most, you know, from the 70s, yeah. There's the other thing, you know. There was the other thing, yeah. And wenn ich meinen Arbeitsanfall habe, dann setze ich mich ganz ruhig in ein Ecklein und warte, bis der Anfall vorüber ist. You understood that? And if I, you know, if I have a pressure, you know, to need to work something, then I sit very quietly in my corner and wait until this, you know, pressure is gone. You should learn more German.
When you talk slow, I can understand a bit. But
okay. No. You understand what I'm saying about feeling, yeah?
Yeah?
Try. Feel it, yeah? And once you feel it, you know, I mean, the moment you concentrate actually on the feeling, it really, you know, if you're really interested in the feeling, the feeling disappears also. Yeah? Because there are no thoughts.
What happens?
Yeah. There are no thoughts. There are no thoughts. But then you can ask the question, what came before that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what came before that? And came before that. Until, you know, the heart tells you what is the real cause, yeah? Don't try to speculate what is the cause.
Yeah, that one is difficult eventually because I get too curious and then I go out into thinking and then I'm out.
Yeah, that. Yeah, I mean, the moment, it is the same thing with wrong insights, you know? I mean, we experience something and then we make up a story about, you know, what this is, yeah? And that is wrong insight. That is not the insight. Insight, you know, insight or wisdom arises, you know, within the heart, yeah? And we know it, yeah? And if we know it, there is a thing, you know, how to test it out, yeah? If it is a real insight or if it is a fake insight. I mean, we can negate it, yeah? But we know it is true. We can say, no, it's not true, no, it's not true, no, it's not true. You know, I mean, you just make things up, but in our heart we know it's true. That is the real insight, yeah? If you have a fake insight, yeah, a lot of people, you know, oh, I'm a Sotapanna, yeah? Oh, I'm a Sakadagami, oh, I'm Arahant, yeah? I mean, yeah? The moment they say, no, I'm not, no, I'm not, each time it comes up, no, I'm not, then it starts to shatter, because our belief starts to shatter, then we know it's fake. Whatever insight you know we have. Yeah? Oh, now I see it. No? No, you didn't see it. Yeah. I use it a lot, you know, because, I mean, they all come. You know, the Kilesas are very keen, you know, in giving us wrong insights. Yeah. So I always said, no, I don't believe you. And then they come again. No, but that was real. No, I don't believe you. No, it was real, real. Yeah. No, I don't believe you. Yeah. And then it starts to shed a little bit, and then you know, okay, it was just fake.
Hmm. Well, actually, this leads perfectly to my follow-up question. And then I'm done. Sometimes when I practice less, I get more thoughts, and sometimes even though I have quite strong belief in you as my teacher and Buddhism, sometimes I still have doubt because I don't want to just blindly follow something which is said. And I think sometimes that's a good thing because then I question myself, like, is this really true? Is this really true? And I just accept whatever I think. But sometimes I do have those thoughts and feelings, and it's difficult because in the world there are so many religions, so many people who claim to know the truth and are so convinced that what they think as the truth is true, that sometimes I reflect on myself and I think, well, I think Buddhism is true. But, you know, am I not like the same people convinced, or am I blind for some things that are said, or and then I try to think like it's that is also a thought, so just investigate these thoughts. You know what I mean? But sometimes it gets difficult.
Yes, I mean this is quite understandable. We were raised in Christianity, you know. I mean, we have a lot, yeah. I mean, not even if you didn't go and were taught in school, you know. I mean, most of our society is based on this religious belief, yeah. And that sometimes can creep in, you know. But in these cases, you know, just ask your heart. The heart will tell you the truth. Yeah? If you don't know, then say, I don't know. It is better, yeah? It is better, you know, not to know than to make a wrong assumption.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, very often I said, I just don't know. I don't understand yet, yeah? And then only after 3 or 4 years, you know, of practicing, okay, now I understand. Now I know. People are impatient. Yeah? They want to have it, you know, now, yeah? That's why, you know, that's why Kroc and, you know, Germany is so popular. And they just ask it, yeah, okay, and then he gives the answer, and we don't even reflect about, you know, if the answer is correct or not correct. Because we don't have that kind of knowledge, you know, that we can decide if this is correct or not correct, yeah? So, I mean, sometimes it is much better to stay with, I don't know, yeah? Or I'm not sure, yeah? And then just go and skip over it, yeah? And the one thing that I did, you know, I had, yeah, when I was with a teacher, then I was with the teacher, and, you know, as long as this teacher could give me something, you know, that I wanted or I needed, you know, then I stick with him. And then if I knew there he doesn't know the furthest step ups, you know, then I looked for another teacher. I didn't go shopping, yeah, for teachers, yeah? When I came to Pantat, you know, I said, I have everything what I need, yeah? Why do I need to, yeah? Everybody said, there's another Arahant. You need to, I said, no, I have one. It's enough. One who knows the way, and he was the best, you know, he was one of the best teachers, you know, in whole of Thailand, yeah? After Lumphun Man, yeah? So, I mean, why do I have to go shopping to see Lumpu Khao or Lumpu Chop or whatever, you know, Lumpu online, you know? There's no need to see them, yeah? Just stick with one, yeah? And if I can't answer your question, you know, then just diss me, yeah? I don't mind, yeah?
Well, I had one time when I was at the Goenka retreat, then I learned something which I hadn't heard from you before, and it really hit me.
Mm.
And then I noticed that whole day I was in anger. With all due respect, please don't hate me. With all due respect, I was feeling so much anger because I thought, why, Ajahn, I followed him for 3 years, why? Is this something new? Why I haven't experienced or heard this before, you know? So, and then later it was gone. But, I just don't want to be, I understand what you mean. I don't want to go shopping because it just creates a lot of
confusion. Confusion?
Doubt.
Confusion.
Yeah. But at the same time, I don't want to stare blindly and just accept blindly.
Yeah, I mean, blindly we don't accept, blindly, you know, but, yeah. I mean, one time my first teacher said, you know, just listen, you know, without thoughts, without labels, and I said, how can I do that, you know? Huh? I mean, that is impossible, yeah. But, you know, he said, you know, just do it, you know, try it, and then one year later, you know, I could listen without, you know, putting any labels on it, yeah? I tried it, you know, and it worked, you know, and then I had the more, yeah? I mean, it's just like with the Buddha's teaching. The more you follow the Buddha's teaching, the more your faith in the Lord Buddha grows, yeah? In the beginning, it was maybe 90%, you know, then it was 100%, now it is 1,000%. I have no doubt about anything, you know, what he taught, yeah? Because you go the way, you see the signs that he's talking about it, and the more signs you see, and, I mean, how can you doubt that? And it's the same with teachers, yeah? I mean, a teacher tells you to do this, you know, and, yeah? And you do it, and things happen, you know, and then you get more faith, yeah? You cannot have complete faith, yeah? I mean, just like the Christians, faith in God, you know, who is God, yeah? I don't have faith in him. Which God, you know? The 32 gods, the realm of the 32 gods, or the realm of the 16 gods, you know, the God over the 16 gods? Yeah, I don't know which God, you know, they're talking about. But if I follow, you know, if I find it, you know, if my heart is reasonable, and that's why I switched the teacher, you know, because my heart said, what they are teaching, that doesn't sound correct, you know. You have to find something else, yeah? And then I went to Lungta and he said, yeah, this is not the way, yeah? I mean, you have to do it like this and this and this, yeah? And then my heart said, yes, let's try it, you know, and it worked out. So if I can't answer your question or if you have the feeling, you know, just diss me, yeah? I don't mind.
I don't think I can.
I'm not a perfect being, you know. Yeah? I have my good, you know, and also, you know, sometimes I do things, you know, I mean, that other people disapprove, yeah? I mean, when this German woman, you know, when she asked about me, you know, in Germany, I mean, they all hate me, yeah? Most of the people in Germany hate me, yeah? That, oh, this arrogant person, you know, I mean, how can he talk like that? Yeah? I'm talking from my knowledge, yeah? And that, you know, of other people, you know, I'm convinced that what I know is, yeah? I know, yeah? And that, you know, for other people, that is arrogance, yeah? So I said, okay. Okay, so that was the answer, yeah? Until next time, yeah?
Thank you.
So, Sunny?
Yes, Uncle.
Yeah, yeah. Ask questions, you know, because it's already late, yeah? Yeah? How many questions are there?
Nine oh. Questions.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, but some are pretty long.
Pretty long. Yeah, just the gist of it.
First question. The world and sensual pleasures are so enticing to me. I'm hooked on them. Sexual pleasure in particular.
Mm.
I try to restrain, but that part of my mind lashes out violently in response.
Mm.
Should I gradually try to wean the sexual activity down, or should I cut it cold turkey? I'm struggling so much to resist sexual urges. It hooks me every day. I'm drowning in it.
What is the question?
If you could, he cut it very hard or gradually?
No. I mean, sexual desire is the most, you know, or sexual craving is the worst kind, yeah? It's the most strongest, you know. I mean, it has an enormous power. The way you cut it down is by doing a body investigation, seeing the body as loathsome, yeah? I mean, the best thing is, yeah? I mean, there's always an object, yeah? Where you put your sexual desire on, yeah? So, strip that object off the skin. And then look what is underneath the skin. And if you then ask yourself, do you want to kiss it? Do you want to hug it? You know, do you want to have intercourse with it? And the first reaction is, you know, blah. And in that moment, the sexual desire is gone. And then you stop this, you know, this interrogation or this questioning, and then it comes back, and then you do the same thing again. Yeah? That's how you cut it down. I mean, otherwise, how can we as monks, you know, be still alive, you know? Huh? We don't suppress things. We investigate things or find a way how to diminish, you know? How to, you know, diminish the attachment to these things. Yeah? To cut it down, it just makes, you know, to suppress your sexual desire is, you know, don't follow it, you know, but don't suppress it because it becomes stronger that way. Okay, next question.
Venerable Ajahn, how can I help a person that is having a severe psychotic depression case? This person that I speak about has been depressed for a while. And I have been trying to teach him about the precepts and meditation so that he can calm his mind. I tried to show him how breaking the precepts make his mind wild and how his mind will hurt him if he doesn't learn to tame it. I had some success. I made him read the Dhammapada and listen to some Dhamma talks. But he soon gave up and he often broke the precepts of not killing living beings. Recently, his case has become more severe. He started cutting his own skin, and he said he's hearing voices. He is having professional help, but I feel like I have the duty to help him too, since I had people helping me when I didn't see the importance of the precepts. how can I help him see that his own suffering is his own doing, and should I leave him to reap the consequences of his own actions if the situation starts to damage my own practice? Thank you so much for everything.
The first thing is for you to realize that you cannot help another person unless it is interested in what you have to tell him. Yeah? You cannot force another person to be a good person. Yeah? He has to come, yeah. I mean, out of his depression, he has to come to see you and ask you, yeah. And if he doesn't come anymore, I mean, you cannot help him. Huh? I mean, we are not preachers, you know, who preach other people how to behave, yeah. We know how it worked out in Christianity, yeah. People got fed up with this, yeah. No. And the first thing is, you know, I mean, first thing is ask, why do you want to help this person? Huh? Why do I want to help that person? Huh? And the answer is because I can't help myself. Huh? So, yeah, by giving myself the illusion that I can help another person, I feel better. Huh? Ask yourself this question. Huh? Help yourself before you can help others. Think about it, you know. I mean, I haven't talked about it for a long time, you know. Think about, you know, you fell into a deep dump of shit, yeah? And there is no way that you get out, yeah? And then, you know, you see somebody walking along, you know, yeah? Along, you know, he's not in the dump of shit, you know? And the first question you ask, how did I fall into this dump of shit? That's not the question, how do I get out of it, yeah? That is the question, yeah, to ask yourself. You have to help yourself. You have to get out of the dump, yeah? Out of the swamp, yeah? Because as long as you're in the swamp, you cannot really help another person. Hmm? The moment you help him, you dive, and that's what you experience, yeah? You help him, you know, push him up, you know, his head over the swamp, you know, so that he can breathe, and while you do that, you go under, huh? You have to have really solid, you know, solid ground underneath your feet. That means you know how to help yourself, and then you can help others. Next question. Oh, job is the same. You get frustrated. Yeah? Hello?
Okay. My question is about how to practice sati. When I try to access just pure knowing, my mind jumps in and interferes. Who is that? Who is that is knowing? Is it the chitta? Practicing mindfulness is much easier, but I know that is not sati. How can I keep my mind out of it?
Huh? I don't understand really his question.
You want to stay only with the pure knowing?
I mean, yeah, stick to the Buddha or stick to the breath. Huh? Know how the breath is. That is annoying, yeah? That is a sati, yeah? Whenever the mind goes out, you bring it back to the breath or to the Buddha. I mean, how often do I talk about how to develop sati? Huh? Knowing the breath going in, knowing the breath goes out, knowing that the breath is deep or shallow. This is, yeah? But you have to put your attention onto one object, yeah? Be it the Buddha or be it the breath. Next.
Dear Ajahn Martin, during my meditation practice, I notice that I keep paying too much attention to my breathing. As a result, the breath no longer feels natural.
Mm.
Would you kindly advise me on how should I practice in order to let go of this excessive attention?
That is very normal for pretty much every one of us. We are control freaks, and we try to control whatever we observe. Yeah. Get out in the nature, get to the zoo, you know, and observe the animals, yeah? You cannot control them, but you know what they are doing. And then apply the same thing to your breath or to your Buddha meditation. Next.
Venerable Ajahn, when we practice body contemplation, are there any signs that we are overdoing it? I have been watching autopsies and I feel very calm for a while, but after a few days, I start to feel anxious. Could this be a sign that I'm overdoing it? Nowadays, I do 1 hour of samatha in the morning after I wake up and half an hour of body contemplation in the evening before going to bed every day. Is this a good ratio or am I risking overdoing it?
No, you cannot overdo it. You probably don't do it correctly, yeah? But do more samatha. Do 2 hours of samatha and maybe half an hour of body investigation. And do light body investigation, yeah? I mean, just like I talked about it, you know, I mean, reflect about your life, reflect about your illness, reflect about death, yeah? And so on, yeah? And then, you know, I mean, just take the body apart, you know, into its bits and pieces, or remember the 32 parts of the body and then put them out, yeah? But you cannot overdo that, yeah? Actually, you know, when you do really body investigation, well, what is happening, yeah? When you come out, you feel angry, yeah? The Kilesa, you know, don't like, you know, that you destroy their most favorite object, yeah? And the most favorite object of the Kilesas is the body, yeah? So, remember, yeah, when we see, you know, I mean, that a child has a favorite toy. You try to take it away or you try to destroy it and this child gets very angry, yeah? And the Kilesas are children. Yeah, just like children, yeah? You destroy the body, you know, I mean, you question the body, yeah? You question the sacredness of the body, and then the Kilesas get very angry, and you will feel it, yeah? The anger comes up after investigation of the body, if you do it correctly, yeah? In the beginning, you know, you might not, you feel some disorientation of, some dissatisfaction, yeah? But if you do it, you know, if you do it, go really into it, you know, you really feel the anger coming up, yeah? And that's why you should be alone when you do it, you know? Huh? Because if you see somebody else, you know, you latch the anger onto somebody else, yeah? And that's not good, yeah? Next.
Bhante, what's the difference between the terms body contemplation and asubha? When I am watching anatomy videos, my attention seems to be divided between understanding how each body part works and just feeling disgusted by the unattractiveness of the body. And these two tendencies seem to be opposing each other.
Yeah,
should I prioritize?
Yeah, no, I mean, we are not understanding how the body works. You know, we understand, you know, we understand the anatomy, yeah? I mean, we look at the body, you know, I mean, if you take a skin off, yeah, what do you see? Huh? That is asupa. Asupa is loathsomeness of the body, yeah? Ask any doctor, you know, who opens the first corpse, you know, he either throws up or falls unconscious, yeah? He doesn't want to see that shit, yeah? Or if you don't like to open up the body, you know, I mean, spit in your hand, you know, and then try to lick it up 5 minutes later. You don't want it, yeah? Or, you know, feel the shit in your hand, you know, and put it at your nose, you know, you don't like it, yeah? That is asupa. That is the loathsomeness of the body. We don't have to make the body loathsome. It is loathsome, yeah? Why would we fall unconscious? Why would we throw up if you see the internals of the body? Huh? Next.
Practicing in line with the 7 factors of enlightenment, I practice mindfully, diligently, and investigate the Dharma. After a while, I got samadhi and feel the separation of the body and mind, but without getting the piti, the joy factor. Am I practicing correctly? What should I do differently in order to fulfill the joy and tranquility factors before getting samadhi?
Forget about the 7 factors of enlightenment, yeah? I mean, the joy is the joy, you know, when I sit down, you know, I'm happy, you know, that I can sit down and relax and do samatha or investigation. That is the joy. It's not the joy, the intensive joy that comes up, yeah? It's the joy of doing the practice, And forget about, I mean, people, you know, they stick so much, you know, to seven stages of enlightenment, seven factors of enlightenment. You know, forget it, do the work, you know, and you will pass through all these stages, yeah? And the work is very simple, yeah? That's why I try to make it as simple as possible, yeah? We stay with the breath or we stay with the Buddha until the mind becomes completely calm, yeah? And then you might feel the happiness and the joy, yeah? And then, you know, after the mind is calm for a certain amount of time, do the investigation of the body. And if you do that, you know, in the correct manner, you will see everything, yeah? Well, the Lord Buddha talks about it. You don't have to, now I have to practice joy. How do I practice joy? The joy is in the heart. Look at the heart and there's the joy. How do I practice metta? The metta is in the heart. Huh? You just have to open the heart, yeah? It is locked up with seven different locks, you know? You have to unlock it, you know, until you see the metta. Ah! I can get really angry, you know, at these stupid questions, you know? How do I practice metta, yeah? Everybody in the West is practicing metta, no? Yeah? Imagining. Metta is in our heart, we just have to look there. Yeah? Greed is in our heart, we just have to look there. Huh? Hate is in our heart, we just have to look there. We have to open the heart, yeah? And what I'm teaching is the way to the heart, yeah? How we get to these things, yeah? Ah, producing, making. That is the West, yeah? Always trying to make something, you know? To up something, yeah? No! It's observing, knowing, asking the right question. That is the path to the heart. Next.
Okay, the second last question. Mental formations change instantly right in the moment, allowing the heart's eye to see its impermanent nature right here and now. However, the body remains virtually the same at this moment. And any idea that the body ages or dies is a concept or imagination or memory. So,
huh? Look at your parents. It's not an imagination. look at a child, you know, that is just born, you know, and then look at it 1 year later, you know, and it changes, yeah? Oh. Or look at your own, yeah? Yeah, well, what is the question?
Yeah. So the heart may not see the truth so easily, even though the mind understands intellectually. How to let the heart see the impermanent nature of the body?
I just talked about it, yeah? I just, you know, yeah? Even before he asked the question, I knew, yeah? Huh? Look at your own life, yeah? What, 1 year ago, what did you think? What were your ideas, you know? How was your body, yeah? Was it strong, you know? Or when you get into sickness, what is it? That, yeah? Huh? When you were very sick, you know? I mean, the first thought, when you're really sick, you know, you cannot do anything, you think you're dying, yeah? And when you're healthy again, you don't think that you're dying, yeah? What is it? You know, it's all connected with the body, yeah? And then look at the year before, then 10 years before, 10 years before, you know, until you come to your birth, eh? And then you see the changing nature of the body. Hmm? And then go back, you go in the future, you know, until you see your body die. I mean, that is a normal process. Okay. Intellectual is not going to solve the problem. To intellectualize these things, you know, I mean, observe it, ask the right questions, you know, and you will get the answer. Sooner or later. Most of the time later. Okay? Next.
Last question. When I investigate the Dharma, I feel that our understanding of the five khandhas and things depends on the mental function of perception and cognition. When I let go of perception and cognition, there is no way to investigate anymore. And being alive, we are unable to let go of consciousness. So is perception and consciousness the last khandhas to let go of? Can you please teach how to investigate the perception and consciousness khandha?
Perception is a function of the memory. Huh? It's a sanya. Sankara is thought. Consciousness, forget about it. You can't even see it. Because your sati is not strong enough. How do you want to investigate consciousness? The first thing that you investigate is the body. The next thing you investigate is the body. The third thing that you investigate is the body. The 100th thing that you investigate is the body. Body, 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 body. Yeah? With it, the bodily feeling. With it, the senses of the body. Yeah? That's, yeah? And, oh, yeah, yeah. It's the same thing, yeah? I'm not, yeah? There's no I. There's no atta, you know? I'm not, you know? I can do whatever I want, you know? You know, the karma comes back to me, yeah? Intellectualize, you know, is not the way of practice. I mean, what did the Lord Buddha do? He never people, they read all the Buddha's, the suttas, you know, they don't know what the Lord Buddha did. Huh? He was sitting in meditation, yeah? He didn't ask the questions, you know? He didn't go to his teachers to ask the question, what is this, what is this, what is this, yeah? He said in meditation, you know, investigation, yeah? Samatha and vipassana. That's it. That's the path to deliverance. Okay. I'm already angry enough. Oh.
Yes, no more questions.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, then let's close it down for today, yeah? It's already late, yeah?
Yes, no problem. Yeah. Let's offer your respects. Bye-bye. I'm fortunate.
I'm teaching already, you know. When did I start teaching? 2002, yeah? From 2002, yeah? And from 2006, there are already recordings, yeah? Over 20 years, yeah? Sometimes I just feel like Jesus, you know? Jesus and his 12, you know, disciples, you know, they were all so stupid, they never understood what the Lord Jesus, you know, was talking about, yeah? Do the path, yeah, go the practice, you know, and you will know for yourself, yeah. I mean, the first thing that I did, you know, when I started practicing, and before I read a little bit, yeah, when I started practicing meditation, I wasn't interested in anything. I wasn't interested in the scriptures. I wasn't interested. I was only interested, you know, to get the mind calm. Once the mind got calm, you know, to start on the investigation. And if I had troubles, you know, I asked my teacher, yeah, yeah, how to overcome this or how to look at this, you know, in the proper way, yeah. I wasn't interested in what other people, you know, talking, yeah. We all have a mind, we all have conception, we all have misconception, yeah. We all conceptualize, you know. And that's not the way, you know. We look, we observe, yeah? And if you understand what I'm talking, when you observe something, you know it. You don't have to think about what this animal is doing or what the tree is doing. You see it shaking, and you know it's shaking. You don't have to think, oh, this tree is shaking, yeah? Why is this tree shaking? You see, the wind comes, you know, and it's shaking. Huh? Don't conceptualize. It's not the way of practice. Katsaya? Midnight. Okay. Me come time. Huh? My me. Alai? Yak tam alai? Tam? Anika, yeah, so then we end the session, yeah?
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Lompo.
Yeah.
See you next one.
When are you coming? In December or in January?
January,
okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Alai? Mami, okay. Bye-bye. And practice. Don't think.